The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. How are you on this beautiful Saturday weekend of the 4th of July, today, July 6th, 2019? I hope you've had a wonderful 4th of July. I hope you celebrated how great our country is and thought about the great advances civilization, humanity has done because of our nation. And most of all, my friends, given thanks to God for our nation. We just, you know, I mean, if there's any value that's being that's been under attack, it's the morality. It's the issue of the idea that we can believe in a God, that we can be religious, that we can think of ourselves as a spiritual people. Without hurting somebody's feelings, without threatening somebody. So at any rate, I hope that you had a wonderful 4th of July. Let's go right into news and news updates about illegal immigration and other stuff that's been happening. First of all, I have to tell you, my friends, it is my opinion, my very, very honest opinion, that there is a concerted effort by the left and by the Democrats with the help of the liberal media to attack, to undermine, to destroy our border, to destroy the folks that protect our border. It used to be like in the Vietnam era. It used to be in the right after the Gulf War, the Iraqi invasion, that our military has been under attack. But now, really, really, in a very vicious manner, the Border Patrol, the immigration customs folks, they are under attack. Fake news has really, really, I mean, carried this battle to new depths. Starting off back on last Thursday, June the 27th, this was a couple of weeks ago, there was a protest, a news conference of nonprofit organizations, pro-illegal alien nonprofit organizations here in San Antonio. And, of course, you know, they the media gave them very, very favorable coverage, talked about, you know, had microphones in their faces constantly. And the press conference was all about the separation of migrant families, not illegal alien families, as they should be called, but migrant families, and the suffering of the children at the hands of the Border Patrol and ICE. One of the outrageous comments that was made in the newspaper was the quote of U.S. District Judge, and this is a federal judge, U.S. District Judge Ricardo Hinojosa, a Democrat appointee and a member of a very, very influential Democrat family, political family in South Texas. He was asking rhetorically this question as to whether or not we have forgotten parental rights. Well, I've got a question for you, Judge Hinojosa. And I use the term judge very loosely. Has he forgotten the rights of a sovereign nation to control its borders? Has he forgotten the word illegal concerning immigration? Does he believe that there should be no consequences for somebody entering the country illegally? I mean, I am so just disgusted with both the media that doesn't challenge them on these comments, as well as these outrageous, outrageous comments that these leftists, these liberals, these Democrats make in such a, you know, it just falls off of their shoulder, you know. Another situation that occurred last week was a Catholic bishop escorting illegal aliens across the border from Juarez into El Paso. Yeah, Bishop Seitz, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, and I really don't care. but Catholic Bishop Mark Seitz escorted a group of illegal aliens back and forth across the bridge in El Paso. He called it a faith action in protest of President Trump's migrant protection protocols, which requires these migrant protection protocols. It requires asylum seekers to stay in Mexico. Well, he was going back and forth, bringing people from Mexico into the United States, the guy is creating social chaos. Apparently, he's one of these liberation theologists who doesn't really care about truth, law and order. The only thing he cares about is his personal sense of what needs to be done to further his human revolution. You know, what a fool, what an absolute fool. He is encouraging and undermining the laws of the United States. I mean, you know, when religious leaders, my friends, when they ignore the laws of the land, the political laws of the land, they are encouraging social chaos. And I guarantee that social chaos, my friends, or chaos in general, is not of God. So I don't know where these people are coming from. Another thing that happened, and this is another irritating situation, the Government Employees Union, the American Federation of Government Employees that represents some of the folks that deal with illegal immigrants, with the migrants, that represents some of these government employees that deal, you know, with the illegal aliens. They filed their union filed a legal brief supporting action against President Trump's immigration policy. Now, again, my friends, let me tell you again, this is a union of employees that work in immigration, a union of illegal aliens, of federal employees, a union of federal employees that works in enforcing immigration law. This is incredible. This is just incredible. They claim that the policy that Trump is pushing for people to remain in Mexico, that policy is against the moral fabric of the United States. Fundamentally contrary to the moral fabric of our nation, they claim. Now, you know, again, these people are nothing more than leftist Solilinsky groups that are attempting to get employees, federal employees, to force their political agenda on the United States government, on the administration. That's what they're trying to do. We have seen it done in the private sector where employees, like over at the furniture store last week, scared the owners into thinking twice about selling furniture to the detention centers. Well, here we go again. This is a new tactic. This is a new tactic by the left to get employers to do their political will, and it is wrong. We are witnessing an attack on the sovereignty of America by foreigners and by American citizens, or citizens, should I say, that don't respect our border, by domestic enemies who want to keep the border open and vulnerable. Our nation is under siege, my friends. There's no two ways around it. Our nation is under siege. In another issue, and this one really, really made a lot of noise, because I don't call it news, I call it noise. Was the overcrowded detention centers. And I guarantee, my friends, the overcrowded detention centers are not the problem of the Border Patrol. They are not the problem of the Border Patrol. Anybody who blames the Border Patrol for the overcrowding of the detention centers and says it's the same as blaming the police for making too many arrests and overcrowding the jails. It's the same thing. The problem could be resolved very easily if aliens stopped coming to the United States, if people in the United States stopped encouraging and excusing illegal immigration. You know, we saw a huge, huge amount of news about that, where all these Democrats came down to the border and they saw the reprehensible, what they call the terrible conditions. Most of it turned out to be false, but that really, really doesn't matter. And speaking of being false and fake news, Last February, in 2019, the Liberal San Antonio Express here in San Antonio, they ran a front page article. In fact, they ran a series of articles about Democrat Congressman Joaquin Castro, about how he was challenging President Trump's declaration of an emergency with House action about how he and other House Democrats were challenging the fact that they're even, they called it a manufactured crisis. Remember that? And the paper sided with Castro. Well. On Monday, this past Monday, July 1st, the same San Antonio Express published an editorial demanding immediate action on the border crisis. How about that? How about that of a turnaround? How about that about hypocrisy? The newspaper quoted Castro and other Democrats as saying that there were problems at the border, that it's awful, the conditions that these people are in. Don't they remember that the president had declared that and had set apart money for that? But now all of a sudden, it's a crisis because they want it to be a political issue. Castro and the San Antonio Express and the rest of the fake news and the rest of these Democrat leftist Hispanics, they should apologize for misleading the American public and for endangering Texans and all Americans. That's what they should do. Let me conclude, my friends, that what we've got is a true, true attack on the values and on the laws of the United States of America, on the Constitution. What makes us great has been the morality of truth and honesty. What has made us great is our respect for law and order. But that is being undermined. It's being undermined particularly in the name of racial and gender equality. Yes. And let me tell all those gender and minority leftists that are so anxious to change everything. You have profited from the Constitution of the United States. Whether you want to admit it or not, you have profited from it. And now you want to destroy it and even replace it. Now you claim that it has hurt you. I got news for you, my friends. This is the greatest land in the history of America, in the history of the world. And we should do everything to protect its values. We should do everything to protect its Constitution and the principles that it represents. And if you don't, you know, why don't you leave? Why don't you go to another country? There are lots of nice countries. Go to England. Go to Canada. Go to Sweden. Heavens. Go to Central America and help Central America. Go down there and help them. But why undermine and destroy us? Our way of life. My friends, it is really a tragedy. This is George Rodriguez. We'll be right back. We've got some great guests with us today. Among them, we've got Angel Mom Agnes Jaboni. And we also have our good friend Todd Benzman. So stick around. We'll be right back. George Rodriguez, El Conservador on KLUP 930 AM radio. Call your friends and tell them to listen in.
Hello, El Conservador listeners. If you are interested in following George Rodriguez, El Conservador, we invite you to follow him at his internet website, elconservador.net. You can also follow him on Facebook at George Rodriguez, El Conservador, and on Twitter at El Conservador for daily commentaries. You can also purchase his book, El Conservador, Conservative Opinions, online at Amazon.com. The book contains essays and commentaries about illegal immigration, fake news, and race relations. If you are interested in inviting El Conservador to speak to your group or event, please contact him through Facebook or through the station at 930amtheanswer.com. El Conservador thanks you for your support. Keep the fire of freedom burning.
Okay, folks, once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio on KLUP 930 AM radio, The Answer. And in a few moments, you're going to be hearing from Agnes Jaboni, who is an angel mom. And she's going to be talking to us about the death of her son at the hands of an illegal alien. According to statistics, fiscal year 2018, Immigration and Customs Enforcement reported 2,028. Let me make sure I've got that correct. 2,028 homicide offenses. 387 of them were charged, and 1,600 convictions. Now, the debate is always on as to whether or not these illegal aliens are really causing that big of a problem. I've got news for you, my friends. If an illegal alien causes one problem, that's one too many because they're not supposed to be here. So we're going to hear from Agnes about the pain that she's gone through, the headaches that she's gone through, just to get justice because the individual was an illegal alien. These offenses, you know, that are committed by folks who are in the United States illegally, they cannot be excused. I'm sorry. They cannot be excused. And when somebody debates us or when somebody says, well, you know, they're just there are criminal acts going on all the time by Americans. Yes, but they are by Americans, my friends. I'm sorry. An illegal alien is not supposed to be in the United States, whether it's a parking violation or whether it's a murder. So having said that, let's go to our interview with Ms. Agnes Gipone. All right, folks, once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio on KLUP 930 AM. The Answer, folks, and we've got a very special guest with us today. I've reached out, and we have chatted on Facebook, but it's a great privilege for me to introduce to you Miss Agnes Gipone. I hope that's correct, right, Agnes?
Gipone.
Miss Agnes Gipone, and she is a legal immigrant who was born in Budapest and who moved. She's lived in South America, and she became an American citizen. She is also an angel mom. Her son, and she's going to tell us about it, her son was killed in 2007 in El Monte, California, by a gang member who had been previously, well, he was an illegal alien, and he had previously been deported. But I wanted to reach out to Agnes and ask her to please talk to us. Agnes, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, George. And just a clarification, my son was shot and killed in 2002.
Oh, 2002. Okay.
Yes.
I want to ask you, first of all, tell us, what is an angel mom? And then tell us how you became an angel mom.
Angel mom and dads are those who have lost a loved one, a child, at the hands of an illegal alien who should have never been in our country. I became an angel mom after my only son, my firstborn, Ronald Da Silva, was murdered by a previously deported illegal alien.
And this situation, I mean, he had been previously deported. How did you find this out, and how did this come to light to you?
It took me several years, because after the shooting, this guy fled back to Mexico, and eventually he turned himself in because the police found out that his girlfriend was depositing her welfare check at a credit union, and he was withdrawing it in Tijuana to live on. And it took me probably about 7, maybe 10 years to find out that he was a previously deported illegal alien. By accident, somebody was talking a little more, and then I started inquiring and found out that he had been previously deported. I registered with ICE victim notification, so I can be abreast as to what's happening with him. Because technically, what's supposed to happen when an illegal alien commits a crime, federal government should nab them after they're done with their sentence in state prison, and they will have a hearing in a federal court to determine that he came back and violated the deportation law, you know, reentry, illegal reentry, and they can give him another 10, 15, 20 years in prison. And now things are kind of iffy if they're even going to do that the way things are right now. Every illegal alien is being protected. But just so the audience know, my guy, I call him my guy, will be released in November of this year.
Wow. This situation with, you know, the New York Times this morning has an article, an opinion piece. I'm not sure by whom. It is a professor in New York. But this professor, this woman, talks about how illegal aliens that are being detained are victims of human rights abuse. Tell the folks how you entered the United States legally, and what your opinion is of this situation that we've got on the border right now.
First of all, my family fled Hungary after the Soviet Union invasion. We left as refugees. We were in a refugee camp for about 10 months in Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia. Because my father was born in Yugoslavia, the government wanted us to stay. And my mother said, no, we're going to America. They refused to allow us to go to the American embassy to get our paperwork going to come to the United States. So we were given three choices. South Africa, my mother said, no way. Austria, she goes, no way. That's right next door to Hungary. Something happens, Austria is going to get it. Or Brazil. We ended up immigrating to Brazil, mind you, as stateless, meaning we didn't belong anywhere because the government, Hungarian government, took our citizenship away. We waited 13 years, applied three times. The first two, the application lapsed. The third time, we were successful, went through all the background, medical, everything for the four of us, and we legally immigrated to the United States. My father had a job contract, and they had to sign a document stating they would not apply for any public assistance, and we legally came to the United States. My son's father is Brazilian, and he was murdered by this illegal alien. That's how we came to the United States.
Yeah.
We didn't marry a U.S. citizen. We didn't jump over the wall. We didn't overstay our visa. We were fully vetted. And when President Trump said that every immigrant needs to be fully vetted, Nancy Pelosi went on a rant saying that's offensive, condescending to immigrants. No, it isn't.
The situation that we also have with angel moms, how many folks have you met that are in similar situations to yours that, you know, have had family members killed by folks who should not even be here?
Unfortunately, too many. There are angel moms and dads throughout the United States, and these people unfortunately suffer, some of them never having an end to their case because their offender escaped or never caught or returned to their country. And some countries do not extradite these criminals, and the families stay with the pain of wanting some kind of justice for their child that was killed by an illegal. But many, many of them.
That's...
many that we don't even know.
That's a real tragedy that justice is never met for some of these folks. The situation that you are now living in California, and how do you feel about the politics that are going on in California right now?
I absolutely hate it. Absolutely hate it. It's a slap in the face to taxpayers. They're rubbing it in our noses. Unfortunately, too many Americans have not a clue as to what's really going on, because it hasn't affected them personally. This is not just about an illegal alien committing a crime. This is about them taking our resources, our jobs, costing us millions of dollars in funds and tax dollars for education, for medical, for everything else, low-income housing, and everything else that they get. And people say, oh, illegals don't get anything. Yes, they do, because our government does not allow children to suffer, to go hungry, so they give them benefits to the children, so therefore the parents are getting them too.
You've testified in Washington. What was the reception like from the Democrats? And the Republicans. What was the reception like on Capitol Hill to your testimony?
If I remember correctly, many people didn't show up. Many of the Democrats did not show up. And there was a couple of them that spoke against the securing our border. And very, very liberal, very unsympathetic. And some of them said, you know, I'm really sorry for your loss, but they just went on a rant that they have a right to. No, this is the problem. Illegal aliens have no rights in this country, just as much as we have no rights, any rights in Mexico, in Guatemala, El Salvador, or any other country. They shouldn't have any rights in ours.
That is so true. The situation also with the media, the mainstream media, initially when Trump met with the first angel moms, there was a lot of media attention. But since that time, in many cases, the media doesn't even identify the murderers as illegal aliens. Your thoughts on that?
No, they don't, because the media has had it distorted. And any time they refer to illegal aliens, they say illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants. They are illegal aliens. Even in the federal code, they are illegal aliens. And when you attach the word immigrant to the end, it dilutes the severity of their invasion into this country. They are not immigrants at any level, any shape or form. They are invaders in our country. They are breaking our laws, and our media and the Democrats and some rhinos are looking the other way. And this is a cancer that keeps spreading. There is no end to this. We need to put a stop to it once and for all to protect the liberty, the sovereignty of the United States, because if we don't have that, then we have nothing.
Here in the last minute or so that we've got, what would you tell the audience regarding your situation as an angel mom and the situation, the crisis that we've got on the border? What would you tell them?
I would tell people that I pray to God that you're not going to walk in my shoes ever, and ask that you pay attention to your local and state officials, what bills they are passing, and be vocal about it and fight for this country. Do not allow yourself to be intimidated not to speak up. When I took my oath of citizenship to defend my country against foreign and domestic invaders, I am doing that. I would hope that every American citizen would do the same.
The 4th of July is coming up this week. Are you proud to be an American?
I am honored to be an American. This is the only citizenship I have since Hungary took our citizenship away. I am very honored to call myself an American citizen.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Agnes, for being on the show. We'll be getting you back on, because I certainly would like to follow up with your story and what's going on in California.
Thank you so much. Anytime. Happy 4th of July to everyone.
Thank you very much. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we've got one of our good friends who has become a regular guest for us, Mr. Todd Bensman, who is with the Center for Immigration Studies. And Todd has recently written a column regarding the routes that are being taken by the migrants, these new migrants that are coming, not like my grandparents as Mexicans that used to come across and work and go home. No. These folks are coming from various places like Africa. And I mean, it's become quite obvious that what we're getting is not the cream of the crop of these nations, but rather the poorest of the poor. And, you know, it doesn't bode well for the future of the United States. So let's get Todd to talk to us about his column and what he has found in his research. Todd, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. Glad to be here.
All right. So tell us, Todd, tell us about your column. Tell us what you found, what you wrote about.
Sure. So as we all know, for the last, 6 months, we have a crisis at the border that, for the most part, involves Central American migrant families from the Northern Triangle countries. But what's happening now is that the legal loopholes and vulnerabilities that they have caused to our border defense infrastructure is now known around the world. So we have a very large number, tens of thousands, I'm told, of Africans now coming through Colombia, through Panama, on their way to the southern border to kind of take advantage of the same opportunity to get into this country and to stay here forever. We're talking about Africans from Cameroon, Ghana, Nigeria, the Congo, as well as the Middle East, lots of countries of the Middle East and South Asia, like Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Iraq, places like that. What's happening is that we've always had this sort of traffic coming from what we call special interest countries, or countries that are, they'll call them extracontinental migrants that come in. but usually in fairly small numbers, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 a year. And what we're seeing at the border, I'm quoting in my piece, two people who are on the ground, one who is in Turbo, Colombia, on the south side of the Darien Gap, that is an old established passage through the jungle into Panama, and then on north, and then also a medical worker, volunteer medical worker, on the Panamanian side of the gap. And so in interviewing both of them, they're telling me what they're seeing, which is just mass numbers of these migrants that they've never seen, in numbers that they've never seen before, thousands and thousands on both sides that are working their way through the jungle on their way to the U.S. border from those countries. So we should start seeing, we've seen some of these already show up. 300 Congolese showed up in San Antonio, and everybody thought that was really, you know, unique and interesting. There were Cameroonians, you know, staying under a bridge somewhere on the Rio Grande, and so we've been seeing groups of Africans come through, but I think what we're going to be seeing is a lot more of them, to the tune of thousands, in the coming weeks and months.
They basically, once they get to our border, they are basically following the same process that these Central Americans are, of just declaring, asking for asylum, and in some cases claiming that they are families. Is that true?
Well, what my two sources are telling me, the freelance journalist and the medical worker, they're interviewing these people, and they're mixing with them and taking care of them and observing them on the ground. What they're telling me is that these migrants are in full understanding that if they claim asylum, and if they do it now while we're in a weakened position, they'll get in easier, and they'll be able to take advantage of those loopholes that everybody's talking about and trying to close. So there is a high level of understanding, for example, of sanctuary cities, that we have sanctuary cities in this country, and they know about it in Congo and Cameroon and Ghana, and they want to go to those sanctuary cities because they understand that it'll be very difficult to be deported from those cities. So there's an awareness of these loopholes, and that's what's drawing so many to come right now.
Amazing. Shocking is the word in my book. I mean, it's disgusting. It really is.
Yeah, well, from all over the world. And so I make the point in my column that, you know, I was watching the Democratic debates, and Julian Castro from San Antonio right there, one of his big proposals is, you know, we should do a Marshall Plan for Central America. You know, if we rebuild their economies, then they won't need to come here, these Central Americans. But there's a logic test for that. If we are having tens of thousands of people coming from Cameroon, are we then supposed to do a Marshall Plan for Cameroon? And if we have thousands and thousands coming from the Congo, are we then supposed to go to the invest billions and billions of dollars in the Democratic Republic of Congo's economy so that they won't come either? And 20 other countries of people coming in large numbers through that Darien Gap, are we supposed to do a Marshall Plan for the entire world? I mean, you know, that. So I think that as we start to see thousands and thousands of Congolese and Cameroonians and Nigerians hit our border, from Ghana, somebody should ask these questions. Should we do a Marshall Plan, you know, a Julian Castro Marshall Plan for every country in the world that's poor? I don't think it holds up.
Yeah, I think it's important that the people know that I have invited Julian Castro recently to come on my show and I can ask him some good questions. But of course, he's declined.
Get him on. Ask him if we're supposed to do a Marshall Plan.
That's
for
exactly
the Democratic
right.
Republic of Congo.
Well, but because I don't see the news shows that he's on. I don't see anybody asking him that.
No, I agree. In fact, I was just watching George Stephanopoulos, his program from yesterday, and Julian was on there, and I didn't see that asked either.
Now, you say in your column that you interviewed some folks regarding a visa free flying to visa free Ecuador. What does that mean?
Okay, so what the journalist told me, Chuck Holton is his name, who lives in Panama and works throughout the region. He's a war correspondent. He's been around for years and does fantastic work. He went to Turbo, Colombia, which is the Colombia side of the Darien Gap. That's the big jump-off place for migrants that are on their way to the U.S. The way migrants get to the U.S. is they first fly into South America, somewhere in South America. Everybody that he talked to in Turbo, he asked them, where did you come in from? How did you get here to Turbo, to this little town where you take a boat to the jungle trails? And every single one of them told him, Ecuador. We flew into Ecuador. Why Ecuador? Because Ecuador is one of the only countries in the world that requires no visa at all from anyone. Obviously, if you're from Congo Cameroon or any of those places, you know, a lot of countries won't let you in without all kinds of, you have to jump through a lot of hoops, and maybe they won't give you a visa. But not so with Ecuador. You can just fly right in there to Quito.
And if that's the case, then, who knows who's flying in? It could be terrorists. Could be anybody.
Absolutely. There's no screening whatsoever. They're like, come on in. They hop a bus, and they head right to the border, and pretty soon they're on. I mean, within 10 days,
They're
down there in Turbo, ready to go through the Darien within 20 days, within 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, they're already in Central America on
now,
their way. I mean, it could be from Quito to the U.S. border a month.
Right. Are any of these countries, I mean, Mexico is doing a little bit, is starting to do a little bit. Are any of these countries doing anything to stifle or to stop or to discourage these people from coming?
No, the exact opposite. They're doing everything they can to encourage them to come and to move them through at the government expense. Panama and Costa Rica are prime examples of this. They both have they follow a bilateral policy, Panama and Costa Rica, called controlled flow. And I talk about this in my column. And I witnessed it firsthand when I went to Panama and Costa Rica chasing migrants in December. I saw this in action. They come in off the jungle. The Panamanian military collects them. The migrants all know this. They know that they will find safe harbor with the Panamanians, so they seek out Panamanian police and military and turn themselves in. And for that, they are taken into warm and welcoming arms, given as much medical attention, food, shelter. They get legal permisos. They are put into camps for as long as they feel like they want to be there. Then the Panamanians provide bus fare and buses, air-conditioned commercial buses, to the Costa Rican border. They hand them off to the Costa Ricans, who do the exact same thing, and pass them on up to, at government expense, to Nicaragua.
Amazing. Amazing.
Nicaragua doesn't participate in this, so they have to buy smugglers there in Nicaragua
going
on up to the U.S. border.
We've only got a minute more. Tell us, what can be done? What conclusion did you come from all this information? What can be done? What should be done? What's going to happen?
If the United States wants that particular kind of migration to stop or to be slowed or to be disrupted, there's a very simple way to do that, because Panama is a bottleneck country. You must go through Panama. It's an isthmus to get from South America to North America. That is where you stop them. So instead of putting them on buses and shipping them up to El Norte, you repatriate them home on flights right there out of Panama. And in order to do that, it's expensive, granted. So, the United States would provide aid for their detention and for the flights back home. And you just do that a little bit on the front end, and pretty soon they're going to realize, we're going to get caught in Panama. It's almost impossible not to get caught
right in
Panama because of the geography. Send them home. Repatriate. Yep. Airlift.
Oh, gosh. Todd, thank you very, very much for coming on our show, as usual, and giving us some in-depth information of what is happening south of the borders. Let's get you back on again when you do, with your next research and column. But we want to thank, once again, Todd Benzman, who with the Center for Immigration Studies, who's always given us very good information. Thank you, Todd.
Glad to help. Thank you.
Hello, El Conservador listeners. If you are interested in following George Rodriguez, El Conservador, we invite you to follow him at his internet website, elconservador.net. You can also follow him on Facebook at George Rodriguez, El Conservador, and on Twitter at El Conservador for daily commentaries. You can also purchase his book, El Conservador, Conservative Opinions, online at Amazon.com. The book contains essays and commentaries about illegal immigration, fake news, and race relations. If you are interested in inviting El Conservador to speak to your group or event, please contact him through Facebook or through the station at 930amtheanswer.com. El Conservador thanks you for your support. Keep the fire of freedom burning.
Howdy, 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 my friends. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas, on KLUP 930 AM Radio, The Answer. And this last segment of our show, and our show is broadcast on KLUP 930 AM Radio, The Answer, in San Antonio on Saturdays at 2 p.m., it also is a podcast that it's available nationwide, worldwide on the internet. Just go to KLUP or go to my Facebook, El Conservador, and you can pick it up. So I wanted to share with you my thoughts about the 4th of July on this 4th of July weekend. First of all, I am very, very proud of being a Texan, of being an American of Mexican descent. I am extremely proud. I was taught in my home to be proud of being an American, okay? That there was a big difference between our lifestyle, even though we were of Mexican descent, and when there were lots of Mexicans, Spanish-speaking Mexicans, Mexican-acting Mexicans around us, we were Americans. We were third, fourth generation, fifth generation Americans of Mexican descent. And within my household, there was a great resentment against illegal immigration because illegal aliens from Mexico, mostly from Mexico in those days, and only from Mexico practically, competed for jobs, competed for benefits, competed economically and politically with Americans of Mexican descent in South Texas. This is how a lot of political bosses exploited Americans of Mexican descent and kept them poor, kept them in their place. Well, you know, my family was very, very proud of being American. 4th of July was a big deal. We would watch James Cagney's Yankee Doodle Dandy. My parents would be very, very quick to start singing, I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy and you're a Grand Ole Flag. I mean, that's what I was. I cannot remember which I started learning first, whether it was Spanish or English, but I was taught that English was the language that I had to learn, that I had to use. We might speak Spanish at home, but I had to learn English, and English was the language that we used out there. You know, in many ways, our experience as Americans of Mexican descent in my family was one typical of the immigrant experience, where, you know, you become, little by little, you become Americans, you become folks. You become very, very Americanized. You leave the culture. I've got nephews, nieces, grandnephews, and grandnieces in Ohio and Pennsylvania named Peña, named Hersey, named LaFleur, named Murdoch. And these, you know, I mean, in some cases, they still make tortillas, flour tortillas. In other cases, they, you know, their last name is Peña, but they don't look or speak Spanish, look Mexican. So, you know, it is an American experience where we've melted into the society. Unfortunately, for every Mexican that has, or Latino nowadays, that has melted into the fabric of society, there's two or three that have crossed the border and started the whole thing. In today's world, there's thousands of them crossing the border. And it's not only Latinos. It's not only Central Americans. It's Africans and Asians now. And because of my parents' attitude towards illegal immigration, I foster very, very strong opinions about illegal immigration right now. I mean, what part of the word illegal don't Democrats and some liberals understand? I mean, you know, what is the point of being an American citizen if anyone can cross the border illegally and get the same rights, benefits, and privileges? What is the point of having a border if it is not secured? And we're talking about not only illegal aliens who claim that they're going to only come to work and they're coming for the American dream. We're talking about criminals. We're talking about possible terrorists. That's what we're talking about. But as far as America goes, America has been a welcoming nation. We provide all sorts of benefits, of money, foreign aid to all sorts of countries. And then on top of that, they're going to send us their poor, their poorest of the poor. They're going to send us folks illegally to the United States. I'm sorry. You know, and so when I am asked, well, why am I so antagonistic towards, it's not that I'm antagonistic towards illegal aliens, my friends. It's that they've broken the law. I am antagonistic against somebody that steals my car. I am antagonistic against somebody that breaks into my house. I am antagonistic against anybody who breaks the law and harms me in some form or fashion. Yes. And people that are entering the country illegally are harming me by taking my tax money. Oh, they pay taxes is the claim that I've heard today. Some of them claim, they do pay taxes and never. No. Doesn't matter if they're paying taxes. Doesn't matter if they're paying whatever. They're here illegally. Illegally. And once again, what part of the word illegal do you not understand? And then I'm asked, well, you as a Mexican, and I'm not a Mexican, I'm an American of Mexican descent, but you, don't you feel sorry for these folks? Because, well, how did your parents? Well, you know, the border, my friends, the border was not secured with the Border Patrol and whatnot until the 1900s. And my ancestors crossed back and forth before there was a recognizable, a secured border. So that, you know, that argument doesn't fly with me. The other part of that argument is that even if they crossed illegally, that I would not justify it. That's like justifying, you know, well, wasn't one of your ancestors a horse thief? Possibly. That doesn't mean that I support horse thievery, you know? This, my friends, is the whole problem with the race card that folks like Beto O'Rourke, fake Hispanic, and Julian Castro and Joaquin Castro, fake Americans, how these folks play the race card for their political benefit. Because you are Hispanic or of Mexican descent or of Latino descent, somehow you're supposed to be on the side of illegal immigration. Fake. Phony. Not at all. Not at all. I'm an American, my friends. I believe in the principles of the United States, the principles of freedom and liberty, personal freedom and liberty, that go along with the principle of personal responsibility. You cannot have freedom. You cannot have a society that has freedom and liberty if there is no responsibility. In order for people to flourish, a society to flourish, there has got to be mutual respect towards one another, civil behavior towards one another. Otherwise, you've got Afghanistan, you've got Chicago. That's where the breakdown of society occurs, when people stop behaving civilly toward each other. And that civil behavior, my friends, is founded on the Judeo-Christian values that were the foundation of our nation. I believe very strongly the U.S. Constitution is divinely inspired. I really do. Believe it or not, I have prayed about it, and I have gotten a response. I have gotten the response that it is a divinely inspired document, that the principles on it, and those principles, my friends, are the principles of freedom and liberty. I do not need protection from a government. On the contrary, I need to control the government and protect myself from the government. Because governments, my friends, they have a tendency to take more power and to take your money, your taxes. You know, history has shown, my friends, history has shown that political bosses, tyrants like Boss Tweed and in South Texas, George Parr and Archie Parr, they used poor and uneducated people to help to maintain their political and economic power. The worst nightmare, my friends, the worst nightmare for a tyrant. The worst nightmare for a tyrant is a person who is economically and politically independent, a person who has self-confidence. And so therefore, those three things, the self-confidence, the economic and political independence, that's got to be broken down. That needs to be broken down. Lyndon Johnson, bless his heart, Lyndon Johnson created the war on poverty to help poor people, but all he did was create the poverty industry. And the poverty industry, my friends, it services poor, but it only creates more poverty because it's got to justify the industry. No thanks. No thanks. You know, I don't need the government to help me. The other aspect of it is that I am secure enough that I don't see racism. I don't see racism around the corner, every corner. I feel responsible for my own actions, good or bad, and the result of those actions. And if something goes wrong in my life, my friends, I don't blame the gringo. I don't blame the white folks. It's sad. It is absolutely sad and disgusting that race baiters like Jesse Jackson and the Julian and Joaquin Castro, that they use race, ethnicity, gender, and income to divide us and to promote their own political agenda. Instead of inspiring people to achieve, these folks, these political and community leaders, liberal leftists, they say that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that is beyond a person's grasp. And the only institution that can help them is the federal government. You know, that message, my friends, government dependency, it breeds social insecurity, and it stifles personal incentives, my friends. I'm sorry, my friends, but, people think that immigration should be a big issue to me. Race should be a big deal to me. But it's not. The only thing I want my country to do is secure the border and control illegal immigration and to protect me from muggers and invaders. That's what I want them to do. I was taught that English is my first language, not Spanish. I was taught to love the red, white, and blue. I was taught to think as an American and as a Texan. This is my country, land that I love, not Mexico. I'm concerned about my country. I could go on, but suffice for me to say that I love America and what it stands for, my friends. I love the principles of freedom, personal freedom, economic freedom, and small government. I believe that people should be taught good principles, good values, and then left to govern themselves and be held responsible for their behavior, for their own behavior. Most of all, my friends, I believe that God has blessed America so that America can bless the rest of the world and will continue to do so if American citizens are worthy, and that worthiness depends on their own values, on their own behavior. I'm proud, my friends, to be a Texan and an American. Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador. You can listen to us on the podcast and website, KLUP 930 AM Radio, The Answer, or you can join us on Facebook and see the posting, the link for our radio program. On the Facebook page, El Conservador, George Rodriguez. Thank you very much. Y'all have a safe and great 4th of July.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.